you know, when we do kirtan, I think it's not a right concept to think that a knowledge of a variety of beats makes a good kirtan person. It's actually what is called timing. It has to be on time, and your timing is all right. I'm sorry. Your timing is all right, so therefore it's totally sufficient. But if you have a good kid, a variety person, but he has no timing, oh, it's such a drag. Do you know timing? Do you know what I mean? Not too fast, not too slow. Okay. Ready, Gaurahari?
Ready?
Oh.
I will cut out what is.
So we read verse 4. Tadit suvana champaka pradipta gaura vikrahe muka prabha parastakoti sharadendu mandale vichitra chitra sancharach chakora shavalochane kadakadisyasiyamang kripa kataksha bhajanam kadakadisyasiyamang kripa kataksha bhajanam. The glistening fair complexion of your limbs is like lightning, gold, and champaka flowers mixed together. It's a very nice description of Radharani's effulgence. Like lightning, that means it emits from her. Like gold, it's a very deep. Gold has a yellowish thing which you feel when you look at gold, it goes very deep into this. And champaka is extremely soft, the champaka flower. The shining brilliance of your face defeats even the effulgence of millions of autumnal full moons. And your eyes, restless like the chakora birds, display astonishingly new and wonderful expressions at every moment. It's very interesting that Srimati Radharani's face is compared with the effulgence of millions of autumnal full moons. And then the next describes her eyes, which are restless like chakora birds. Now, the chakora birds, we all know, live on drinking the moon beams. What could this mean in relationship to the eyes of Radharani? It means that her eyes live by drinking the effulgence which comes from Krishna, especially from his cheeks, where his earrings dance and in this way produce a luster which moves. So Srimati Radharani, eyes drink these beams from the wonderful face of Lord Krishna, and therefore she has wonderful expressions in her eyes at every moment. She's always surprised by Krishna. There's a verse where she says, "Aho, how wonderful, how amazing, it's a mass of light with a peacock feather." This is how Krishna moves. O Shrimati Radhika, is the end of the prayer. When, oh when, will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? O Shrimati Radhika, when, oh when, will you bestow upon me? O Shrimati Radhika, when, oh when, will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance?
Your merciful sidelong glance.
Yes. This was text 4 of this beautiful prayer. Tomorrow, if Radharani gives her permission, we will chant text 5. Today we will hear a special pastime in relationship to Krishna's devotees. Srinivas was a very, very great Vaishnava Acharya who came directly after Mahaprabhu had gone. It is believed by Vaishnavas that Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Syamananda Prabhu Pandit were partial manifestations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, in other words, appeared partially in all these three great acharyas. The partial manifestations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya respectively. So Srinivas Acharya was a partial manifestation of Sri Chaitanya, Narottam Das Thakur of Nityananda and Syamananda Pandit of Advaita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come as Srinivas Acharya to relish his own sweetness, Swamadhuri. Muni Manjari appeared as Srinivas to relish some special mellows. After coming from Vrindavan with all the literature written by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srinivas stayed at Vishnupur at the Raj Guru of King Birhamvir. There he was worshipping his deity Vamsi Vadana. One day, after his worship, Srinivas sat down to meditate about the Nitya Leela of Lord Sri Krishna. This he would do every day. He would sit down and through his Siddha Deha, he would serve the Lord in meditation, returning again after some time to his sadhana deha. This was his regular routine. But on this particular day, time continued to pass and still he did not return to external consciousness. He had entered into the deepest region of meditation, his body completely stunned and so very still that he appeared not to be even breathing. Thus the whole day passed, and still Srinivas sat in the same position. The entire night passed, and still he did not move. Everyone became worried, and by the end of the second day, when there had still been no change in Srinivas' appearance, they became very anxious, and a great panic ensued. Everyone thought, oh no, Srinivas has entered eternally into the pastimes of the Lord. At any moment he can leave his body. Thus they began to lament. Many great personalities were there, like the king, Birhambir, Vyama Acharya, Krishna Vallabha, and Balabhi Kaviraj, they all came to Srinivas and saw him. For 2 days he was meditating. Holding a piece of cotton at Srinivas' nose, they understood that no breath was going in or out of his body. There were not even any symptoms of life. No one knew what to do. But finally they remembered Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was very dedicated to his guru Srinivas Acharya. Only this Ramachandra could understand the mind of the Acharya. There was no one equal to Ramachandra Kaviraj. However, Ramachandra Kaviraj was not present there. News was sent to him and a party dispatched to bring him to Srinivas as soon as possible. Those who were close to Srinivas worried. Ramachandra lived such a great distance away. What if in the meantime something inauspicious happened? What if he could not come back on time? Thus everyone was in anxiety. To their great surprise, however, on the third day Ramachandra arrived there of his own accord. If one withdraws all his external thoughts and simply accepts Gurudev through his mind, words and heart as his everything, then the spiritual master becomes confined in the heart of that disciple. Ramachandra was that kind of disciple, fully dedicated to his guru. Thus he came to know of the situation of his guru at Vishnupur. So he arrived there on the third day. That's very interesting that by being so dedicated to our spiritual master, we know what is going on in his heart and we can serve what is going on in his heart very nicely. So Ramachandra knew some service was required of him and he came. When he arrived in Vishnupur, he pacified all the Vaishnavas and said, "You should not be worried at all. Very soon the Acharya will return to his normal condition. I am going to enter into meditation to see where he is and what pastime he is absorbed in. Wherever he might have gone, by the mercy of all of you, I will bring him back here very soon." Then Ramachandra offered his obeisances to Mother Gauranga Priya, the consort of Srinivas Acharya, and took his seat next to Srinivas. There he performed his meditation. You must know Karuna Manjari had appeared as Ramachandra to relish some special ras of Braj, and Gadadhar Pandit had manifested in the body of Ramachandra to relish his own mellows. Amazing personalities, you know. With different personalities are present at the same time. The only way I can understand this, that in this world we also say sometimes, well, this person is like a child sometimes, but when he speaks like Gadadhar, he's like a scholar. So both a child and a scholar live in him. But here it's something else. These are not personality traits, but real personality. Gadadhar Pandit and Karuna Manjari. By his meditation in the mood of Karuna Manjari, Ramachandra entered into the Nitya Leela of Radha Krishna. There he saw all the Manjaris very great anxiety searching for something in the waters of the Jamuna. His Gurudev was there in his eternal form of Mani Manjari, and he had joined in the search. Karuna Manjari approached Mani Manjari. Seeing Karuna, Mani Manjari was very happy. She said, "We are searching for the nose ring of Srimati Radharani." This morning, when the Sakis went to see Sri Radha, they noticed her nose ring was missing. They were very disturbed by this and ordered us to search for this ornament. Last night, Srimati was engaged in the Maharas pastimes. After my words, while she sported in the Jamuna, she lost her nose ring without realizing. Thus, we are all here searching for the ornament. So you can see all the Manjaris making a detective search of the Yamuna for this nose ring. But it could be theoretically everywhere. And where to find this nose ring? Yamuna is so big. And you know, this is a problem. If the nose ring doesn't return, then perhaps Mother Yatila, the mother of Abhimanyu, will notice, and she will say, "Where is your nose ring?" And then what will Radharani do? She will be so embarrassed. Ramachandra Kaviraj understood that Srinivas in his Siddha form had spent the 3 days searching for this nose ring. It had not entered his mind to return to his manifested pastime before completing his Siddha form service. He understood that as long as this ornament was not found, Srinivas would not come back to his manifested body. Depending upon the mercy of Guru, Ramachandra, in his Siddha form of Karuna Manjari, entered into the waters of the Yamuna and began to search for the ornament. Due to the mercy of his Guru, Ramachandra was able very soon to find the ornament under a lotus leaf. Karuna Manjari gave the nose ring to Mani Manjari. In great ecstasy, Mani gave it to Guna Manjari, the eternal form of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who then in turn gave it to Lalita Sakhi. Then Lalita took the nose ring to Radharani. Here it should be noted how in the pastime of the Lord the mood of surrender is ever present. The gradual process of surrender is very important in spiritual life. There is no space for independence. Ramachandra could have given that ornament directly to Srimati Radharani to obtain her favor. But he did not do that. Though that would have achieved the goal, still there would be no sense of spiritual pleasure. Added to that would be the defect of overstepping the guru. This gradual process of surrender is essential in the life of a sadhaka. Srimati Radharani was so very pleased that the ornament had been found. And in her pleasure she gave her chewed betel nuts to Mani Manjari, who kept the tambula bound in her cloth. Meanwhile, at Vishnupur, everyone was sitting at the meditation place of Srinivas and Ramachandra. Suddenly, Srinivas Acharya jumped up from his asan with a roaring sound, "Wow!" and left his meditation. Ramachandra also rose from his asan. Seeing the two cherished devotees return to external consciousness, The residents of Vishnupur were greatly relieved. They started to dance and chant in ecstasy, glorifying Srinivas and Ramachandra. Suddenly, in the middle of their ecstasy, they were overcome by the most wonderful smell. My God, what happens now? Everyone was bewildered by that smell, that transcendental fragrance, and no one could find out where it was coming from. At that time, Srinivas remembered the tambur which was offered to him by the most merciful Radharani. He had kept it in his cloth. Srinivas untied his cloth to look if it was still there. And lo and behold, there was the tambula chewed by Radharani. Srinivas gave it to Ramachandra, his wives, and the other most fortunate personalities gathered there. Everyone was astonished to see how the tambula had come from the transcendental realm to the material world. Thus Srinivas Acharya was blessed by Srimati Radharani. Jai Jai Siddhartha Syam. There are many such pastimes, especially Srinivas Acharya, who is Mani Manjari, was often and often such things were things of the transcendental world, like garlands which he had received from Gauranga Mahaprabhu when he was meeting Gauranga Mahaprabhu in his meditation. They were found upon his person and they emitted this most powerful and amazing smell which overwhelmed the senses or the noses of the Vaishnavas. Right? So I thought we should hear one more.
I have a little question. Should I maybe ask about that?
You must ask your question. What is your question?
Ramachandra, I don't know if I heard properly, but in Karuna Manjari, was it? He could find the ornament by the mercy of his guru.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how, since 3 days, his guru was trying to search and he could not find.
So how could he give him the mercy to find it when he himself was unable to find it? I can attempt an answer. Sometimes we find that those who empower certain personalities work through these personalities and do things which they themselves refrain from doing. Krishna, for instance, empowered Arjuna and the other Pandavas to annihilate all the demons. Krishna didn't do that. It is said that he worked also through Bhimasena. Bhimasena meditated all the time when he was fighting about Lord Nrisingadev in his heart. That's why he was so powerful. And he was empowered by Nrisingadev to do his work of annihilating the Kauravas. So sometimes we find the servants do things which the master himself doesn't do. But how do the servants acquire the strength to do it? It's by the mercy of the master. Krishna therefore said to Arjuna, you can be an instrument in this battle. So we understand that everything we do is by the mercy of our spiritual master. Our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote many books, whereas his guru was illiterate. Gokashodas Babaji would not write, but still Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did things being empowered by his spiritual master. The way I understand it is that the empowerment of the guru is expressed in the Gayatri Mantra, that he makes us enthusiastic to serve. And enthusiasm is the strength by which our spiritual activities take place. So this enthusiasm may be manifested in a way which the guru himself didn't do. Like, for instance, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami, he would discuss things with a scientific perspective, and we never saw Prabhupada engaged in such debates or discussions. But still Bhakti Swarup Damodar attributes his enthusiasm to the blessings of his guru. This is how I would answer this question. He might have, in this pastime, wanted to show also that how the guru engages his disciple even in these very confidential pastimes, if they are on this level. Yeah. I wanted to read to you something. From Prabhupada. Our prayer today is to Radharani. We pray to Radharani because she is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive, but Radharani is so great that she attracts Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, and she is attractive, or the attractor of Krishna. Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari prishabhanu sudhi devi pranamami hari priye. This is how to offer obeisances to Radharani. Radhe vrindavaneshwari. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold. What else? Champak flyer and lightning. And who is the queen of Vrindavan? You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Krishna. Our business is Radharani. You are so dear to Krishna, so we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however fool I may be. Because I am recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan you will find all the devotees. They are chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees are addressing Jai Radhe. You will find still in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They are more interested in worshipping Radharani. Because however fallen I may be, if some way or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Otherwise, if you go by the speculative process to understand Krishna, it will take many, many lives. But if you take devotional service, just try to please Radharani and Krishna will be gotten very easily. Because Radharani can deliver Krishna. She is such a great devotee, the emblem of Mahabhagavat. Even Krishna cannot understand what is Radharani's quality. Even Krishna, although he says, Vedang Samatitani, I know everything, still he fails to understand Radharani. Radharani is so great. Actually, Krishna knows everything. In order to understand Radharani, Krishna accepted the position of Radharani. Krishna wanted to understand the potency of Radharani. And Krishna thought, I am full, I am complete in every respect, but still I want to understand Radharani. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhava Dyoti Suvalitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has accepted the propensities of Radharani. As Radharani is always feeling the separation of Krishna, similarly in the position of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation of Krishna. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, feelings of separation, not meeting. The process of devotional service taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession is how to feel separation from Krishna. That is Radharani's position. Always feeling the separation. Wonderful. So, we are now ending our discussion. I find that when we chant the Maha Mantra and we feel sincerely that we are searching for Krishna's mercy, then that is how to chant. As we are discussing, we are seeing three geckos near the light. These are little dinosaurias who hunt after the insects. You can see they live with me very happily. And they are eating these insects. They are so absolutely fixed on their duty. They only move for the insects. They have no other purpose in life. They only run for the insects. So, if we can be so concentrated on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, each mantra, full concentration, that will be our great fortune. Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. Please close the machine.